SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is Game Time Decisions live right here on Sports Grid. It is a Thursday night, which means we are jam-packed, not just here on Game Time Decisions, but on the grid. Once again, pro football today, weekday style for primetime action in Pittsburgh begins in an hour. I will be joined by both Donnie Wrightside and Joe Lisi right here in studio as we set you up for more primetime NFL action. That is in an hour, which means we have to get on the move tonight here on Game Time Decisions. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. Let's make it happen. We start this off with a look at last night's big result, which was a 5-0 victory for the Texas Rangers. The Rangers winning the World Series. They do so in 5 games and under here. Series total runs under, anybody? You love to see that come crashing in. We have updated odds for next year's World Series. How will that market be approached when clearly, undeniably, open your eyes if you disagree, it is a disadvantage to have a bye. We'll hit that in just a moment. We will also hit some Super Bowl odds because the trade deadline has come and passed, and this is where things sit right now. Your top 10 right here begins with last year's Super Bowl teams, the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. And to give you an idea of how fantastic this weekend is set to be, we have 2 teams in the top 5 going head-to-head, 2 teams in the top 4, so make that actually 4 of the top 5 playing one another, and 6 of the top 9 with Cincinnati and Buffalo. It is going to be a fantastic week of National Football League action that we will, of course, have you covered with here on Sports Grid. Let's make sure we get the radio audience in the mix right here on this Thursday night, SiriusXM Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh with you right here on Game Time Decisions. Week 9 in the league starts with Pittsburgh and Tennessee. You see this 2.5? Those numbers are gone. It is now a full field goal line in favor of the Steelers at home. Kenny Pickett, never lost against the number at night. That is starting to become a little more of a popular conversation. Could that be a bad omen? We shall see. The big game tonight in the association would be Sixers-Raptors, not just because Philly looks good, but because the Philadelphia 76ers will have some debuts tonight. The James Harden deal finalized, and it looks like we might see some Robert Covington, perhaps some Marcus Morris as well, that blockbuster deal. We will give you an idea of where the lines have landed with that trade being finalized and talk with Coach James Young a little bit later, getting his picks on a 4-game slate of NBA action. Let's open this up a little bit here and talk about the Texas Rangers momentarily. Look, for me, it's my favorite baseball team in like the last decade, quite frankly. What have the Yankees done for me? Whole bunch of nothing. This team eliminated the Astros. Thank you. Cashed an American League 9-1 ticket. Thank you. And ensured that the series total runs went under, despite the fact that game 4 had 18 runs in the thing. I love this Texas team. And this Texas group deserves everything that they've got. 11-0 on the road. We will never see it again unless they expand the postseason format to a preposterous length. It is a remarkable feat accomplished by this group, including Corey Seager, who wins the World Series MVP for the second time in his young career, a career that is likely to end in Cooperstown. But when one season ends, a new season begins, and we already have our 2024 Major League Baseball World Series odds. The champs check in here at the third spot, tied with the Houston Astros above them. Who do you think? The Braves and the Dodgers, the only 4 teams underneath, 10-1 back down here. You see almost the entirety of the American League East with the Rays, Toronto, and New York. No Baltimore, despite winning that division inside the top 10. I have to mention it because I'm going to be interested to see how people play this. How willing will people be to bet on Atlanta or the Dodgers if they feel that those teams are going to have a bye? It is a hard sell to make. You want to bet on a team to have the best record in baseball, that is one thing. Over win totals, win a division, fantastic. But what we have seen in the 2-year sample size, while it is small, it is undeniable. These teams with the byes are not getting the job done. Double wild cards in terms of Texas and Arizona, who is nowhere to be found inside your top 10 for World Series odds. Let's push over to some Super Bowl odds here as we are starting a new week in the National Football League. All 32. That's what you got right here at the top. It is Kansas City and Philadelphia. At the bottom, 100-1. The Cardinals and the Bears. The Bears were buyers at the deadline. What are you doing? 100-1 Chicago, right there alongside Clayton Toon's group in Arizona. A messy situation. You can kind of start to see the tiers materialize throughout this, who is getting respect and who is not. Maybe a little more Jets respect than you would anticipate at 85-1. Then again, you probably have to, because Rodgers is still attempting to convince everyone that he is going to still play football this season. I don't know. He probably will try. Will it be effective? I doubt it. And again, this week right now, if you take a look here, your top nine has three head-to-head matchups: Philly and Dallas, Kansas City and Miami, and then Cincinnati hosting the Buffalo Bills. It will be fantastic. Let's push this along and put eyes on tonight's game. As we said, it is Pittsburgh and Tennessee. These 2.5s are gone. You have to lay the full field goal if you've not bet this yet and you like Pittsburgh. But if you like the Titans, patience is key. Of course, a field goal always important, especially in what is supposed to be a lower scoring football game. 36.5, your total. It is coming up at a couple of shops now, seeing some 37s out there. Will Levis goes for the second time in his young NFL career. 4 passing touchdowns in his debut last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Credit to the kid where it is due, but will he be able to repeat that performance against a Mike Tomlin defense on a short week? Only time will tell. We'll fly through our cards. 2 picks tonight for me in that game. Very excited about both. Here's your NBA board. 4 games tonight in the association. Detroit goes to New Orleans. No Zion, no Ingram. What else is new with these guys? This team had to play 20 games last year where both of them were absent. More of the same for New Orleans. Toronto and Philly, we talked about, is the big one. Orlando and Utah, I'm on that game tonight. We'll talk about it. And then a rematch, San Antonio and Phoenix. The difference, though, we could see Devin Booker make a return. We'll key in on that in a moment. Here's your board on the ice tonight. As always, plenty of options in the National Hockey League. You see Boston down here getting involved with Toronto. The Rangers will go against Carolina out west. Vegas and Winnipeg, people I'm sure will have their eye on this Golden Knights team. A struggling Connor McDavid, Edmonton Oilers group against the Dallas Stars. Let's get a quick pick on the board. We mentioned Devin Booker's return could be happening tonight. If it isn't, it does not matter. I'm going to trust KD, easy money sniper, to get the job done in the first half. San Antonio beat the Phoenix Suns last time out as a big-time dog in Phoenix, but they were down nearly double digits at the break. The Suns are perfect against the number in the first half this season, and the Spurs have lost 3 out of 4 so far. We get a fiery performance from the Suns, and they are up by 6 or more at the end of 1. Let's keep it going. It's game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen right here on Game Time Decisions, live with you on this Thursday night. Want to go through the card? As always, we're going to start in the National Football League. Steelers, Titans, taking a look right now. Again, it is a 3 everywhere in terms of the side, and it is, there's only one loose 36.5 out there. Everything else is 37, so some buy on what is a very low total, and that total is important. You're seeing so many unders right now. Prime time so far this season, it is 19-7 to the under. It is been free money. Stop the cap, just play the under and roll with it. If you've been doing that from the beginning of the season, you should really not even be all too concerned about tonight's total. You're up a ton and just keep on firing along. In terms of the side, we're starting to hear more and more people aware of the Kenny Pickett 6-0 against the spread at night with Pittsburgh here. Trends like that are dangerous. We've talked about that before, right? What did we say with that Saints game against the Jacksonville Jaguars? One of the few overs in primetime. Oh, Saints unders, Saints unders, Saints unders. Those trends go to die. I do lean Pittsburgh and the over tonight in this football game. I'm not playing either one, though. I felt more comfortable here getting involved with the running back room on both sides of the ball. Let's start this off. My favorite bet in this game is going to be Derrick Henry. Not how you would anticipate. A lot of people tonight are going to play Henry on the ground, and I don't mind that look at all, but I'm playing him through the air. Derrick Henry, over 11.5 receiving yards, is far too light. Last time out for Will Levis, 28% of his pass attempts went to the running back room, whether that was Derrick Henry or Tajay Spears, okay? With Ryan Tannehill, that was around 20% of his attempts. So that is a notable uptick. While it is a one-game sample size, it is notable. And it was 4 targets put on Derrick Henry. It was 4 put on Spears. As long as Henry's getting 4, we are getting it over this number. Henry's hit 11.5 in 5 out of 7 games. But he's 5 for 5 when targeted multiple times. That is all that is stopping Derrick Henry. Get him 2 targets, he gets over this number of 11.5. The Steelers have allowed 6 of 7 opponents to have a running back go over this number. If you want to play Spears as well, I do not mind that at all. This, to me, tonight is not just about what we have seen from Pittsburgh or what we saw in the one game from Will Levis, but also, can we just think logically here for a moment? If you are the Pittsburgh Steelers and you just saw what Will Levis did, you have to make him play the underneath game. Will Levis last week was 19 for 29 for 238 yards. Will Levis threw for 157 yards worth of touchdowns. Those happened. It's real. I'm not saying you don't give him credit for that. Here is what I am saying, though. In his 25 other attempts, he was 15 for 25 for 81 yards, 3.2 yards per attempt. Make Will Levis play underneath. That plays into our bet, which is an over for Derrick Henry's receiving. On the other side of the coin, we're going to go with Najee Harris, over 56.5 rushing plus receiving. This is a number that missed last game out by 1.5 yards and had cashed in 3 of 4 prior. All of a sudden, you are seeing Najee Harris be involved in the passing game more than it's really being discussed. He's had in his last 5 weeks passing yardage, receiving yardage of 15 yards, 32 yards, and 42 yards. If we get that kind of workload, we're going to be in a great spot here. There should be plenty of workload tonight for Najee Harris. I think the Steelers win this game, and I don't think at any point they're going to be trailing by double digits or 14 points here in some disaster zone. The run should never leave this playbook for Pittsburgh tonight. And I know that Tennessee is a difficult team to run on, but it is 56.5 rushing plus receiving. In 7 games this season, there have been 3 running backs that have gone over, 3 other running backs who landed in the 50s, but underneath 56.5. And then one RB room that was never close. Point being, though, so we've been right around this number. Najee is starting to hit it. I think it's a positive game script tonight for Pittsburgh, and I'm playing over 56.5 for the rushing plus receiving. Let's get the NBA card in. I know there's a 3-pack of college football. We'll talk about it with Joe Ranieri. I didn't love the college football tonight. No Riley Leonard for Duke in their game going out there later on. I think they're playing, is it Wake Forest, if I'm not mistaken? It's a low-level ACC game. I'll pull that up quickly for people. I know we've got Texas Tech, TCU, Duke, Wake Forest, and then it's Troy, South Alabama. Didn't love the card tonight. Well, again, we'll hit it with Joe Neary. But on the NBA side of things, I am quite invested here. I was going to have a number of Pelicans bets. Zion bounce backs, Pelicans team total. It was going to be a fully invested evening. And then there's no Brandon Ingram, no Zion Williamson, and it completely throws things in disarray. One of the sneaky biggest problems for New Orleans, and not just Zion health, he's resting on the second leg of a back-to-back. It is what it is. It's Brandon Ingram's health as well, who is now missing his 3rd straight game, all due to injury. What this does allow, though, is for us to play CJ McCollum. Last year, this team, as I said, played 20 games without B.I. and Zion. Now, CJ didn't play in all of those games. What he did do was go over 5.5 assists. He went over 5.5 assists in about 70% of the games that he did play where they both were absent. You could play his points. It makes sense. You could play his points plus assists if you want. Sometimes he gets off. But I trust the assists tonight. This is going to be a heavy usage evening here for C.J. McCollum. I was tempted a little bit by some Herbert Jones numbers. Maybe I'll play him if you wanted anybody else. You notice in that sample size as well, there's a lot of Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy is also injured right now for New Orleans. This is just not a healthy basketball team, and it is November 2nd. Suns minus 5 in the first half. Up there it says 5.5. There are 5.5s out there, but you should be able to get the 5. So make sure you do your best to shop. The Suns are a perfect 4-0 against the spread so far this season in the first half, and that is key. This is a team that is playing from a depth deficit on a nightly basis due to the fact that Devin Booker and Bradley Beal have not been playing basketball for them. And again, that right there is the key. That's why teams are able to make some comebacks against them. The Lakers did it to them, and we saw the San Antonio Spurs do it to them. However, Phoenix was up 18 in the first half of this game that was just played. And now you add Devin Booker in, and I add that the Phoenix Suns should be extra focused off of a loss to this same San Antonio group. I'll lay the 5 in the first half here by the Suns. I think they're up double digits heading into the break. Last play for me tonight, it's a little riskier, but it's going to be Utah plus 1.5 at home against the Orlando Magic. We're early doors here. Preseason perception, I think there were a lot of people who are high on Orlando. There are things about the Magic to like, which I understand. I do think occasionally we lose the plot a little bit. At some point, Paolo Banchero is going to feel like a perennial all-star. It is his sophomore season, and it's 5 games into it. Franz Wagner has a lot of potential. We're early here. We match up these front courts. Larry Markkanen's the best player on the court. And John Collins has an argument for the second. And in terms of the guards for these basketball teams, look, Clarkson can be a little erratic, but that Magic backcourt is a hard group to trust. So if I put these teams on a neutral court, I think my eye would dart towards Utah. Now I'm putting Utah at home, and that covers the lack of rest. We've talked about rest advantage, but it is early season, and I think maybe we're seeing it factored in a little too much here. For Utah to be a home dog, the Jazz have played 3 games at home so far, smashing Memphis and upsetting the Clippers with a 16-point loss to Sacramento. By the way, the Jazz, their other 2 loss at Denver, at Phoenix, that's not bad whatsoever. You can certainly say that the Magic's 2 loss against the Lakers and the Clippers are fine, which they are. Their victories are Houston and Portland. 4th consecutive road game here for Orlando. They're getting way too much respect. I'm going to play the Jazz plus 1.5, and if that number continues to climb, I'll continue to add on Utah. We get Joe Ranieri in the mix next right here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, it's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, now joined by Joe Ranieri, who I am sure all of you have seen plenty of and want some more of here on Game Time Decisions. Joe, it is a packed Thursday, though if I know you, you will bet all of these games, but like none of them.
100%. Well done there, Walsh, in fact. And what is the like about this slate of games in football here tonight? We can start with Thursday night football, which will be on there for in-game live, and we'll have to muddle on through it. What is there to like? And I've got even a better stat for you. You ready for this? Just so you guys understand, we're not making this up on Thursday nights. Since 2019, NFL games lined with a total of 38 or less are now a whopping 70% to the under. So yes, they are low totals for a reason, which means don't expect a lot of scoring here tonight there, Walsh.
Great. But just what people were looking for. So here's the thing. I have a two-play card in this game. Okay. And that is because I said, I'm not doing this. I'll give you a perfect example. Derrick Henry tonight was, earlier today was about plus 150 to score. For Derrick Henry, that's a bit ridiculous, right? The team total for the Titans still suggests about 2 to 3 touchdowns. You'd think one of them would go to Derrick. No, nope. Not doing it. Nope. Don't care. Not doing it. I'm not betting his touchdown. If you bet it and you win, I'm happy for you. I'm betting his receiving yards over. Najee Harris is rushing plus receiving, and I'm leaving it at that. I am guessing you are betting the first half under in this game, and I guess maybe the full game as well.
Well, plus, we'll throw a few other ones in there in the under because I'm digging around here. I have the Tennessee Titans team total under 17 because I do believe the first one is 17 wins the game here. In all likelihood, that will be Pittsburgh after the defense. Much like Iowa, we'll probably do a pick six or a punt return, and that'll be all the scoring in the game. I will also say this. The reason I don't like any Derrick Henry props is they welcome back Cameron Hayward tonight to the middle of that defensive line for Pittsburgh. And they are going to anticipate, yes, a lot of Derrick Henry to alleviate some of the, you know, rookieisms that may come with Will Levis. He is not going to throw 350-yard plus bombs to wide receivers here tonight. I can assure you of that. And he'll also probably be under duress. So, yes, every under known to mankind, I'll be on tonight.
There is a you can basically bet Will Levis for 200 yards at very, you know, palatable juice. And, like, it's coming off of a game where he threw for 238. No quarterback has thrown for less than 220 against Pittsburgh. It's there for a reason. Again, I do not need a load of, especially because I was very low on Will Levis coming out of Kentucky. I'm not going to sit there with asking myself, why does he have 93 yards at halftime? No, thank you. I'm good. 93 might
I
be generous.
I took his rushing prop over. I mean, I don't want to leave him
what
hanging.
Number?
It was 10 and a half, and I figure one scramble when he's running for his life. He is pretty athletic. He's got some wheels. We know that. So I figured one scramble for 11 yards, and we cash that ticket.
I'll tell you what. It makes a lot of sense because he is athletic. And he did it, so the reason he got drafted was not his final year at Kentucky, but the season prior. And he was a great athlete that year and was always on display. I have no idea what the hell he was doing his final year at Kentucky. Truly, like, it's still a miracle he even was drafted off of that season that he put on tape. But if the guy that was there before that, the 10.5 number, again, makes a lot of sense. Speaking of college football, let's talk about it. It's a 3-game board tonight. I was telling you before we were getting going here, I was looking at this game in terms of TCU and Texas Tech towards the under. But also, they're two of the fastest teams in college football. So that was the one thing, if I was going to be on this board tonight, I would be on. Joe, what about you? It's an ugly 3-game slate.
It's disgusting, but this is also a series that TCU has dominated over the last couple of seasons here. I believe 4-0 now against Texas Tech. But listen, they get, and I keep hearing this leading up to this game, right? Well, they get Morton back. Yeah, Morton was a backup to begin with, and he sucked. So I have no idea. What does that say when you're happy to get a dude who hasn't played any football in 6 weeks? Like, all of a sudden, now you're excited to get the backup back at Texas Tech, which tells you how bad it has been. The thing that kept me off at Texas Tech was the 41-3 smackdown drubbing that Kansas State laid on TCU. That is a fantastic TCU spot in a bounce back situation. They should not have lost that bad. They got embarrassed, and we usually see teams like that do a pretty good job of bouncing back. And they've got some confidence because they know they've beaten Texas Tech here. It's a tough game, but I'm kind of with you. I'm looking at the total, and I think maybe we get a little more turnover-prone teams, and next thing you know, not as much scoring. So I'm looking at the under as well.
Yeah, this TCU team is also sadly dead to me as I played their win total over. And all they need to do is win out, Joe. All they need to do is win out, and we're there. So, Sounds good. Win tonight on the road, follow that up by beating Texas, close it out by beating OU, all the good things. Let me actually quickly prick your brain a little bit here in terms of the Big 12. So my preseason thought was this is a two-league conference, no matter how much people tries to sell me on TCU or Texas Tech, I'm not buying it. And then, damn it, all of a sudden, Kansas State is somehow replicated Adrian Martinez again, and it's Avery Johnson, this kid is ridiculous, with Will Howard. And Oklahoma State won't die. They never go away. So the two big dogs are favorites this week, but slight favorites. How worried are you about the top of the Big 12 being Texas and OU and their games coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's going to be total pandemonium in the Big 12, and as well as it should be, because I don't trust Texas. I think K-State's got a really good opportunity to be able to upend them this week. They have exactly the kind of team that will cause Texas all sorts of issues. Plus, Texas still a lot of question marks at the quarterback position. I don't know why you got a kid with the name Manning on a jersey there and you refuse to play him is beyond me. But hey, go with your bad self there, Sarkisian. I'm sure the celebration after the loss will be fantastic. But it's Oklahoma State that's fascinating to me, because of the fact that you've got this kid, Ollie Gordon, who is putting up Barry Sanders numbers, the likes that we have not seen against pretty decent competition. Yeah. He wasn't running over Sisters of the Blind here. They are doing something there that we have not seen in college football. Now, Oklahoma State's used to it because Barry Sanders went to Oklahoma State. But if this guy had actually started every game, you know, we're talking about a 2,000-yard rushing, running back, which you almost never see anymore in college football. But this kid is something special, and I don't trust OU to tackle him because Stutzman probably isn't playing, and he's the most valuable linebacker on that OU squad. If he doesn't play, going to be another huge rushing game for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, the kid, I think, has over 550 yards and 6 touchdowns in just the last 2 weeks, to your point there. It would be very Big 12, because I think Texas is good enough to win a national championship, and I think OU is good enough to belong in the college football playoff, and it would be very Big 12 for that championship game to be Kansas State against Oklahoma State. I know that both of those teams are playing good ball, but it just... If you're the Big 12, that's not who you want in that game. Let me ask you quickly in this Duke-Wake Forest game. Riley Leonard's out. Duke is still laying a big number. It shows how bad Wake Forest is. I, though, have to stay away. I loved Duke last week with Elko catching points and was as wrong as I've been all season. I don't feel like I have a good read on this team, do you?
Yes, anything under a touchdown, I went big in on Duke. I wasn't expecting Riley Leonard to play. Don't forget, this was 13 to begin with, and now they've pushed it down to under a touchdown. And quite honestly, the kid that's going to be playing behind him, we've seen what Duke looks like without Riley Leonard, and we watched them run all over North Carolina State. So the running game is not going away because Riley Leonard's not playing. And quite honestly, this Wake Forest defense is so terrible against the pass that even this third string freshman is probably, when asked, going to be able to complete some passes. But to me, this is decided because of the Duke defense at home, national television. That defense is something real there. I think they end up winning this game and Duke wins by double digits.
Yeah, maybe something in the nature of 24-7. I see where you're at there. We might as well round the bases quickly, Joe. Troy, South Alabama. Troy Lane 5.5 at home.
Don't know who South Alabama's quarterback going to be. Is it going to be Bradley or is it going to be Alab? That's the problem with South Alabama right now. But I think Troy wins it either way.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, we'll take a look at it there. Joe Ranieri has, of course, more coming up tonight. He'll be live on In-Game Live with Dave Sharapan. They will follow right after our Pro Football Today crew set you up for that game there, which I know Ranieri is very excited for in Pittsburgh. and Tennessee. He's been saying it all season long. Ooh. He said this might be the game of the year. Forget the game in Germany, that Chiefs game. No. He likes this game here tonight. Appreciate it, Joe. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, Game Time Decisions behind me. James Harden. I want to set up everything that happened with the Clippers and the Sixers, and then we were going to bring in Coach James Young and get some plays on this four-game slate in the NBA. Harden, you see the numbers last year. Kind of sneaky, easy to forget. He won the assist crown last year, led the NBA in assists per game at 10.7. I'm also seeing a number of quotes. I guess he's at a press conference that the Sixers kept him on a leash. I got to tell you, vibes awful. The vibes are awful already. He thinks he's going to go to the Clippers and average 35 a night with PG and Kawhi there. I don't know. Let's go big picture here. Your NBA championship odds a little more than a week into the season right now. The favorites haven't moved. We knew that was going to remain the Boston Celtics, right? They've looked unbelievable. Some are calling for the championship to be handed out. They 50-balled the Indiana Pacers late last night. But there has been a little bit more movement to come for Philadelphia, right? We've got them inside the top 10 at 9. But the movement is the Clippers. The Clippers are now right here in this fifth spot. Tier one, we've talked about that being Boston, Milwaukee, Denver, and Phoenix. The market sees it that way. But the Clippers really came up a tier here in front of Golden State and the Lakers, who they played and lost to late last night. PJ Tucker, who came over in that deal, made his debut. Harden did not. Here's where the odds go. They were 12-1 to win the conference, down to 7, and the title odds more than slashed in half. Here is the reality of the Clippers, though. You are going to hear, well, if they just stay healthy, it doesn't exist. Grow up. Kawhi Leonard barely played in the regular season last year. He looked better than Kevin Durant, no doubt, for a game. And then he wasn't healthy. And you know how Paul George stepped up in the following games? He wasn't there. It's not a real thing. Keep wasting your money on the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's talk about where you should put your money, and it's the Philadelphia 76ers. I am telling you this right now. The market is completely lost. Lost on the Sixers. Their odds come back a bit in the conference and the championship market. Pay attention to what is going on. Harden was never playing for this basketball team. It was never happening. How did the Sixers look early season? Hung with the Bucks in Milwaukee, and they've won every game since. Big favorite tonight against the Raptors. Booked like one of the best teams in the league because they are. Embiid is top five, at least in the regular season, and Tyrese Maxey is an all-star. But more importantly, do you know what they talk about now on NBA Countdown every single day? Which all-star out of Chicago is coming to Philly? Do you think this number is going to look like this when Zach LaVine puts on that City of Brotherly Love City uniform? It's not going to. It'll be slashed in half. This is why I bet the Sixers preseason. This is now the deepest team in basketball with a top 10 player in the league, another all-star, and the chance to add more. And they're getting booked like they are not a true contender. It is a massive misprice on Philly. Do not wait until it is too late. We are in on the Sixers. Let's get Coach James Young in here. JY, we're going to talk a little Sixers-Raptors in a moment. But please, feel free. Do you disagree? Am I too high on this Sixers team as is or as they could be? Talk to me, man.
Let's go the other way first with the Clippers. I have never been a believer in this team. And here's what I'm going to say. Health is an issue. It is a major issue until they've proven to be healthy, which has never been the case with PG-13 and Kawhi Leonard. But here's the other thing. You think the Russell Westbrook, James Harden thing that didn't make it in Oklahoma City and didn't make it in Houston is now going to make it with the Clippers? Like, what planet are we on? But not only this, here's the part that K-Dub didn't tell you. PG-13 can opt out at the end of the year. Kawhi can opt out at the end of the year. And James Harden is a free agent. What happens when it blows up? And it will. And Ty Lue can be gone at the end of the year, too. I know Steve Ballmer's got this new arena that he's got to christen and bring in next year. You think they're all going to be there? I don't think so. So I am fading the Clippers. I don't even know if they make it to February without some kind of drama. And let James Harden take 25 shots and PG-13 take 10 and Russell Westbrook comes off the bench. Talk to me when all that goes down. And let's see how marinate for our audience. Now for the Sixers, I think they're priced wrong, but I'm not there yet. Because Embiid, regular season, unbelievable. We need in the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey's got to be better in the playoffs as well. They got to go get another guy. And it could be LaVine. It could be DeRozan. But they got to get a third guy. If they get a third guy, is Porzingis going to stay healthy in Boston? We don't know. Is Father Time going to catch up to Al Horford? I think it will. I just watched the Bucks lose by 25 last night in Toronto. They're going to be disjointed at times. So, yeah, Philadelphia is wrongly priced, and they're going to make a move because Daryl Morey makes more moves than anybody else, and he's got some capital now that he can move to make a trade.
100%. And the Sixers will be encouraged to make a move because they will have one of the best records in basketball. Look, I fully believe in this team. And this is not me trying to convince myself of something. The season started, 10 days ago? And this is why I bet this team to win the title. The number's wrong on Philadelphia. It just is. JY, let's get some picks on the board for the people here, all right? Because we've got four games, and I know you're always locked and loaded. Let's start with the Sixers and their game tonight. I want to see what the odds are because I know it's moved around a little bit here with this game tonight. Obviously, Toronto coming off of a fascinating back-to-back where they just slaughtered the Milwaukee Bucks last night. This line anywhere from 8.5 to 7.5 in the market. Total right now bouncing between 214 and 215. What do you like in this game?
Shop around, and whatever the best line you get to fill up for Philadelphia, go to the window and take it. Back-to-back game. Toronto played as great as they did. I watched that game closely last night, and Milwaukee looked god-awful. Let's be honest here. But now you got to turn around. You got to fly out of the country. You got to fly to another city. You got to get in your bed, and Joel Embiid, who's finally got rid of James Harden, is waiting for you. And I watched Jakob Poeltl go absolutely ham in the first half. You think Jakob Poeltl's going off on Joel Embiid tonight? Give me a break. Philadelphia, minus the points. Joel Embiid, over 29.5 points, 28.5 shop around. The one play I do like for the Raptors is OG Anunoby, over 13.5 points, over four of his last five games versus the Sixers. The best perimeter defender, probably you would say in that position, that 3-4 position, is PJ Tucker. He's not there. Batum's not ready. And I love Kelly Oubre, but Kelly Oubre don't play no damn defense. OG Anunoby, over 13.5 points.
Love where your head's at. I know that they're trying to settle in, but you got to think Bobby Covington gets that starting spot over Oubre sooner than later. I think a better fit for that basketball team than Kelly Oubre. In terms of a starting lineup spot there, Oubre fits more that sixth man type of role. Pelicans, Pistons, a lot of line movement here due to some absences tonight for the New Orleans side. No Brandon Ingram as well as the absence
from Zion Williamson. Seeing four and a half now, Coach. I am on the CJ McCollum over assist prop at 5.5. What do you like here?
You know what? I do like the Pelicans here. Listen, I thought down the stretch, the way they were, getting boat raced early. Like, this is an interesting thing. They were getting smoked in that game against Oklahoma City. They were down, I think, 20 in the first half. And they came all the way back, which is interesting because they could have easily folded K-Dub and then just played for the next day. They're going to be good. I got it early. Jonas Valanciunas over 21.5 points as rebound. It's up to 24.5. But with the injuries, they're going to need it. And here's the key thing. If Jalen Duren does not play, it's Marvin Bagley the third. That's all I got to say. Yeah. And then James Wiseman. He should be able to eat versus Marvin Bagley III and James Wiseman. Give me Jonas Valanciunas over 21.5. And K-Dub, you know where we're going with the rebound tonight. Thompson. It's 8.5 and it's plus money? Man, Mr. Double-Double? You know, listen.
Let's keep going.
Kevin Walsh is the president of the Asor and Amen Thompson fan club. And JY is the vice president. I'm all over Asor tonight. Asor Thompson over 8.5 rebounds. Book it.
Maybe we'll split. Maybe you can get Asor, and then it's all great. They're both thriving. I wanna bet some Herb Jones tonight, JY. Maybe you and I will talk about it, and if we come up with something, I'll have you tweet it out to the people, because I'm trying to bet some Herb, but I want to get to the other stuff that you're on here, because we're going to agree with something. I like the Jazz, and I see you do as well. I'm not as concerned with the second leg of a back-to-back for Utah being at home. And I look right now at, you know, who these teams have played and who these teams have beat. I lean Utah, and maybe more than anything, you ask a lot of people who the best player in this game is, you're going to get some Paolo Banchero. That's not true. Larry Markkanen's the best player in this game here tonight for Utah.
Oh, he absolutely is. And just because I like the Tribe Called Quest. Remember Tribe Called Quest? We got the Jazz. We got the Jazz. We got the Jazz. We got the Jazz. I'm taking the Utah Jazz tonight. I absolutely love this team. Listen, they're playing pretty well. Back-to-back at home. That's the key thing that Kevin said. Back-to-back at home. You're in the same bed. They wanted to. So I like them tonight. And where am I going? I'm going with the microwave oven of Salt Lake City. Keyonte George. Now I'm the president of that fan club. I'll take that all by myself. Keyonte George over 7.5 points. I like it.
Too many presidents.
He's gotten 20 plus minutes the last three nights. Keyonte George, 7.5. And I saw it with plus money. Yes, please.
Okay, we're going to have to rein you in a little bit, though, okay? You can't. Your favorite players in the NBA list is about 75
That's
deep.
Okay. That's okay.
You're out of control. You're out of control.
Let's go, Ocean Township.
All right. Look, talk to me. In terms of the Suns' game against the San Antonio Spurs, I've got Suns' first half. I laid the 5. D-Book might be back. What are you tracking here?
I'm going first half, and I'm going to my new favorite thing, which is the Victor Wembanyama live bet. Opening last game, he was 16.5 K-Dub. He didn't score the first 5 minutes. They dropped it to 13.5. Wembanyama plays much better in the second half. He has to let the game come to him. I'm going to wait. If Wembanyama gets off to a slow start, I'm going to jump in before he comes back in the game, let his points drop, a points prop drop, a couple of points, and I think he goes over that. Meanwhile, first half, Phoenix is going to be pissed off after blowing that lead. They're going to blow him out early.
To your point on Vic, and I wasn't able to, you know, get it in time, but in the fourth quarter, you needed 3 points to get over his live prop. He hit a 3. You're getting 6-1 for him to get up to 15, which was an additional 6 points. There is juice on Vic in just those fourth quarters. If you're able to stay up late enough to bet some West Coast basketball, I love the look. JY, we will do it again tomorrow with a full Friday. College basketball is around the corner as well. We'll close out Game Time Decisions after the break.